This morning I've entitled this message, A Mother's Passionate Prayer. A Mother's Passionate Prayer. Growing up, I shared a few times about this, but one of the vivid memories that I have, it's my parents, especially my mom, crying out to the Lord for her children. I would come from school at times, and of course, we grew up in a big family, and mom had to cook all day for all of us. We were a lot of kids in the family. And one time specifically, I remember walking into the home. She did not hear me walk into the home. And of course, when boys are growing up, especially in high school, one of the things you want to do when you get home, go to the kitchen. And I came into the kitchen, and I saw a picture that I will never forget. There is a stove that is cooking food. Everything is boiling. Everything is moving. And here's my mom kneeling down before the stove, crying out to the Lord for her children. And let me take a step further. There were many times that our parents would fast while we were eating, and they would fast for their children. In the times when I've struggled in my walk with the Lord, my parents would not give up. In the middle of the night, late at night, I would hear, my room was next to their room, I would hear almost like a song coming from the master bedroom where my parents would be. But it was a song filled with tears and weeping for their children. And this morning, I want to encourage parents that are praying for their children. I want to speak to you to encourage you never to drop back, never to give up, but to continue praying and seeking God's face for your family. We all know this verse that the enemy has come to kill, steal, and destroy. And we quote this verse and we acquaint this verse with the world. But my brothers and my sisters, the enemy has come to steal, kill, and destroy. And that also is an attack on our families. It's also an attack on our children. It's also an attack on our society. And this morning I'm reminding myself as a parent, and I'm reminding you as a parent, to fight for our children, to fight for our families, to fight for our marriages, but not to come into a state of slumber, not to be in a state of thinking, well, God, you're in control, doesn't matter what I do, you know everything what's gonna happen. No, God has called me and you as father and as mother to stand in a gap for our families, to stand in a gap for our children, to stand in a gap for this generation, and to say, devil, you're not gonna have them. They belong to Jesus, hallelujah. And yes, there might be times us as parents, like my mom, fasting and praying in front of a stove, kneeling down, seeking the mercies of God upon her children. And this could be our story. This could be my story to say, maybe it's for somebody else today to eat. But today, starting tonight, as we're going into the 4 days of prayer and fasting, let us be on a mission to say, God, I'm going to come before your face. I'm going to put the food aside for a season, and I'm going to seek you and your mercies and your grace to be upon our families. Oh, how much we need the Lord. How much we need God. And I'm convicted at times of a casual prayer. Yes, God hears. Yes, God answers. But there is also casualness that came into the house of God. And my prayer is that we would be stirred through the power of the Holy Spirit to be aware of God's presence and to say, God, I need you. Oh, God, I need you. Help me to understand that I'm standing before you, that I'm kneeling before you, and help me to believe that you will answer my petition. Praise be to God. There was a woman in the Bible that prayed to a point where she had no more words, no more strength to pray. To the point when she would come into the house of God, discouraged, filled with anguish, filled with hurt and disappointment. And that silent prayer turned into just moving lips. That other people thought she has lost it. Other people thought maybe to call 911, we have an emergency here. A person is losing it. But it was a person filled with pain and anguish before the Lord. And she did not care what people are thinking around her. She cared, God, can you speak to me and breathe life into my family? Ultimately, having a child, it was another life. It was life that she was seeking. And this story, of course, by now you know, it's written in 1 Samuel chapter 1 and 2. The woman's name, it's Hannah. Nothing satisfied her. Everybody had a smile on their face. Everybody around her, they were fulfilled. But there was a woman that was not fulfilled because a promise was given to her and she was seeking God to answer that promise. And the Bible says that Elkanah had two wives. The name of one was Hannah and the name of the other was Peninnah. And of course, it came a moment of Peninnah, she had children, but Hannah did not have children. She couldn't have children. And this picture turned even into mockery. And the Bible says in verse 6 of chapter 1 of 1 Samuel, and her rival also provoked her severely to make her miserable because the Lord had closed her womb. So it was year by year when she went up into the house of the Lord that she provoked her. Therefore, she wept and did not eat. Her husband, the Bible says, even brought two portions of food to Hannah to satisfy her because he loved her more because her womb was closed. But the Bible says even in those moments, she was weeping and she did not want to eat. In different words, doesn't matter of the supplies, doesn't matter what was around her, what she had in her life, materialistically speaking. It was a pain inside of her heart. She was going through a period of anguish and nothing can give her an answer. No finances, no money, no wealth, no food, no double portion of food. Nothing can answer the cry of her heart. But she knew she had to come to Jesus. She knew she had to come to her God to ask for a miracle and to ask for this life. Have we ever been in a circumstance or in a situation that didn't matter what people offered us? We knew only God can answer me. Only God can come through into my life, into my circumstances, and into my situation. My brothers, my sisters, is the same God as we sang earlier. That is yesterday, today, and forevermore. He is faithful. And he hears our cry and our prayer. And the Bible says in verse 10, and she was in bitterness of soul, prayed to the Lord and wept in anguish. Then she made a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look at the affliction of your mid-servant and remember me and not forget your mid-servant, but will give me your servant a male child when I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and a razor shall come upon his head. Can you imagine year after year to come into the house of the Lord? The Bible says that year after year they would come. And out of all the prayers, there was one prayer. Oh God, I want life. Oh God, I want life. I'm not satisfied with a daily quotation, with the daily things to know the word of God and to quote it, but there is no life in it. God, I want life in my womb. I want life in this walk with you. And the Bible says that she was filled with anguish. She was filled with pain. And she made a promise and says, God, if you gave me life, I will give it back to you. If you gave me a son, I will dedicate back to you. In different words, if you want it so bad, don't you want to keep it? Whatever what you're seeking, whatever what you're going through, the weeping, the anguish, the pain, you want this child. Why wouldn't you keep it for yourself? But she knew that God, you are the one that gives me life. And you are in charge to say it belongs to me. Hallelujah. And the Bible says in verse 12, and it happened as she continued praying before the Lord that Eli watched her mouth. Now Hannah spoke in her heart. There's prayers that we can speak in our heart. I went through a season in my life years ago where there was a season of such pain and failure and distress and confusion that there was no strength to pray out loud. But God knew my heart. He knew what I was going through. There was a prayer in my heart that ultimately He answered. And ultimately He brought me to victory. Ultimately He brought me to the other side where I've seen the mercies in the hand of God. And here it says that she was speaking in her heart only. Her lips were moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she was drunk. So Eli said to her, "How long will you be drunk? Put your wine away from you." But Hannah answered and said, "No, my Lord, I am a woman of sorrowful spirit." My brothers, my sisters, how important in our life not to judge other people, because we do not know what they're going through. We do not know their pain. We do not know their situation. And how quick, and I am at fault as well, we can from the side judge a situation prematurely. But Hannah says, "Oh no, I am a woman filled with pain, filled with sorrow. And out of all the people, only God knows what I'm going through. I have drunk neither wine nor intoxication drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord." Where has she done all of these things? In the house of God, the Bible says. My brothers and my sisters, out of all the places, the best place to find ourselves, especially when we're going through difficult seasons in our life, is to find ourselves in the house of God. The house of God that is called the house of prayer, where we can come even to the front or in the back or sitting, whatever, and crying out to the Lord. If there is any safe place we should find, it's in the house of prayer. If there is any place where me and you can come and not feel judged, it's in the house of God. When we come and say, "God, you see my anguish, you see my pain, you see my brokenness, you see my children, you see my marriage, you see my family. I'm crying out to you for mercy and I'm crying out to you for a breakthrough." If there is any place we can do this with confidence, it's in the house of God. "Do not consider your maidservant a wicked woman, for out of the abundance of my complaint, I grieve, I have spoken until now." Then Eli answered and said, "Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant your petition, which you have asked him of." And she said, "Let your maidservant find favor in your sight." So the woman went her way and ate, and her face was no longer sad. And I asked a question to myself and to this chapter. Hannah, your situation did not change. Your circumstances did not change, but your face changed. No longer you were sad. No longer the circumstances captivated you. No longer that anguish that was in you had authority over your life. But you, at one moment, you chose to stand firm. In one moment, you chose to reply and to answer to the call of Eli saying, "Go, because God is gonna grant you." And she believed the promise that was given to her by Eli. And she says that, "I'm gonna go and eat." And her face was no longer sad. And this morning, I wanna encourage you that me and you will get a hold of the promises of the Lord. That our face is not gonna be in despair. Our face is not gonna be sad, but we would get up and move forward through the power of the Holy Spirit. And we'll believe the promises of God. Hallelujah. Then they rose early in the morning and worshiped before the Lord and returned and came to their house of Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah, his wife, and the Lord remembered her. So it came to pass in the process of time. In the process of time. And sometimes in our life, we say, "God, I want it now." We live in a microwave generation. We don't want to wait till the food is cooked. We want to put in the microwave, press a minute, and the food is ready. We don't want to go and buy raw food that needs a process to get cooked. We buy frozen food that is not healthy for us, that we can put in the microwave. And at times, we transfer that mentality into our walk with the Lord. But so often, I look to the Word of God, God does everything through a process. And the Bible says, in the process of time that Hannah conceived and bore a son, and called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked for him from the Lord. Now the man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer the Lord, to offer to the Lord the yearly sacrifices and his vow. But Hannah did not go up, for she said to her husband, not until the child is weaned, then I will take him and he may appear before the Lord and remain there forever. That was not an easy thing for Hannah to come through with her promise. When we don't have things, we're capable of promises. But when God gives them to us, we say, God, I don't know if I really meant that. I want to keep whatever what I promised to give it to you. But Hannah comes through with her promise. Verse 23. So Elkanah, her husband, said to her, do what seems best to you. Wait until you have weaned him. Only let the Lord establish his word. Let the Lord establish his word. Then the woman stayed and nursed her son until she had weaned him. Now, when she had weaned him, she took him up with her with three bowls, one ephah of flour and a skin of wine, and brought him to the house of the Lord in the Shiloh. And the child was young. Then they slaughtered the bull and brought the child to Eli. And she said, oh, my Lord, as your soul lives, my Lord, I am the woman who stood by you there praying to the Lord. In different words, I am the woman who you thought I am crazy, who you thought that I am drunk. I am the woman who was in anguish. I am the woman who was weeping, and you thought that I have lost it. I am that woman now that come back to the house of God with results that our God answers prayer, that our God is an amazing God, that our God brings life, that our God can open the womb and say, let there be life, that our God is faithful to his word. And she says, praying to the Lord, for this child I prayed, and the Lord has granted me my petition, which I asked of him. Therefore, I also have led him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he shall be land to the Lord. So they worshiped the Lord there. As the worship team comes, Hannah came to a point in her life to say, God, what you had given me does not belong to me, but it belongs to you. My brothers and my sisters, our children do not belong to us, but they belong to the Lord. And this morning, I don't know where you're at in this journey. I don't know fully where your children are. But let us be encouraged to say, God, you had given us children, not for the enemy to steal, kill, and destroy their lives. But you had given us children, you had given us life, and they belong to you. Some people are suggesting that Samuel was about 3 years old when this happened. When she said, I'm going to bring him back to the house of God. And the Bible says that there was a journey that took place. And the journey from the house of the Lord to Shiloh, where they lived, was about 15 miles away. During that time, they did not have airplanes. They did not have cars. They did not have a lot of things that would take them very fast from point A to point B. But maybe they took donkeys. Maybe they took different animals that they had to take to help them gather their belongings. And they began to make a journey to the house of God, 15 miles. I looked from here to about Colonia Park, where we call shopping area. It's about that 15 miles. So think about it. What takes us to drive on 22 about for 15 minutes to 20 minutes, depends how you drive. Or I should say how I drive. But it's about 15 miles. And now you see the parents of Samuel, 3 years old, taking him by the hand and walking, intentionally thinking, God, you had given me this promise. You had given me what I was asking you, but now I understand that I cannot keep it because I'm not going to be able to protect him all the days of his life, but you will. And out of all the places, out of all the parks, out of all the games, out of all the skating, out of all the ball games, there's nothing wrong with that. But she intentionally also took him and brought him to the house of God. And I don't know what the conversation was. I know what the conversation is with my three-year-old son when I'm walking from my home to church. Daddy, pick me up. I can't walk. Daddy, carry me. Daddy, I'm freezing. And at times he will run, he would fall, and he's waiting for me to pick him up. Daddy, where are we going? Daddy, what are we going to do there? And this is the question that my son has for me. And I began to think, when I began to study the scripture, that he was about 3 years old, what kind of questions he was asking his parents. Mom, where are we going? Oh, we're going to the house of the Lord. For what? Mom, I'm hungry. Can we go back home? Oh, God is going to take care of you. And I couldn't stop but remember the story of Abraham and Isaac. Whenever when God began to speak to Abraham and to say, Abraham, whatever what you love the most, whatever what you want to keep the most, it belongs to me. Because I have a bigger plan. And he's walking to the mountain to bring a sacrifice. And Abraham, I don't think it was an easy thing for him. He's struggling in his mind, in his thoughts. What it will look like for me to bring all of what I have to the Lord and bring a sacrifice and give it back to the Lord. I don't think he was like, oh, I'm going to do this laughing and dancing. I think there was a struggle in his heart. And more than that, this boy that is walking with his father says, Father, we're going to bring a sacrifice. Where is the lamb? And the only way he knew how to answer this question, he says, I don't know all the answers, but I know that God will provide. God will provide. When I'm going to walk in obedience with the Lord, it might cost me something, but in the end of the day, I know that God will provide. My brothers and my sisters, when we come to the house of the Lord, when we bring our children to the house of the Lord, we might think, well, I should go and do this, or I should go and do this. Every time when we choose to invest into their spiritual life, God will provide. Let us not think that everything that is spiritual, everything that is the church is doing, everything that is the house of the God, of the Lord is providing, it's a secondary. No, it's primarily. So what if they're wealthy? So what if one day they're going to be known in this world, but they're not going to be walking with Jesus? None of that will matter. But out of all the things, what matters is for our children to walk with the Lord. And some of you, my brothers, my sisters, I know your stories. I know your anguish. I know your pain because I hear them when you share that you've walked this journey. You've tried to give everything. You tried to do the best. And yet some of your children, unfortunately, are walking with the Lord. And you can blame yourself, you can blame others, but this morning, I'm asking you not to blame, but I'm asking you to put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and to say, God, I'm going to show up to church, to the house of God for my children. And I'm going to come like Hannah, I'm going to pray for life to come into their womb, for life to come into their hearts, for life to come into their bodies, and for their eyes to be open one more time. If they're not here, I am here. And one day God is going to look, and other people will think you're crazy, but God is going to look at your faith and say, I'm going to grant you because I am faithful to my word. And one day you will just stand, and even though you will not have the answer, but there will be a smile on your face, you'll go to your kitchen, you'll start eating, you'll start living by the promises of the word of God, like Hannah began to live by the promises that Eli told her, go, because God is going to grant you your request. Oh, my brothers and my sisters, there is no greater joy than to know that our children are walking with the Lord. Children, there is no greater joy than to serve an amazing God. There is no greater joy to love to come to the house of God. And I know that you might not be willing to sit still for 2 hours. It's okay, you can run, you can do whatever. But be in the house of God. It's the best place ever you can be. Hallelujah. Out of all the places, let's make a point to bring our children by hand to the house of God. And to say, God, I cannot keep them. I cannot transform them. I cannot change them. I can do what you've called me to do. But ultimately, it has to be you. It has to be your promises. It has to be your word. It has to be the power of the Holy Spirit that will keep them. I'm going to do my part, but I'm asking you to do your part now, because you are the keeping God. You are the one that transforms. You are the one that saves. You are the one that will install the love of Jesus Christ into their hearts. And I love this. I love this, that it says that Samuel began to hear the voice of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't know how long it took. I don't know. Maybe it was months or years. I don't know exactly. But this little boy began to hear the voice of God. And you know how he began to hear the voice of God? This is just my assumption. He thought Eli was speaking. That's why he was running to Eli. Can it be that God began to speak in a voice of the way he knew it? So he doesn't get freaked out or scared. And he was listening to the Lord, but the voice sounded like Eli's voice. My brothers, my sisters, God can speak to you as parents. When you come to the house of God, God will speak his word through the preacher. God will begin to speak to them. And they will say, God is speaking to me, because he's a living God. He's not dead, he's a living God. And that's the beauty of it. When our children will grasp upon the truth that God is alive, God speaks, it's going to be their walk, their personal walk with Jesus. Hallelujah. And this is the desire of my heart, for our children to taste and see how good the Lord is. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And the best way for them to do that is devotional time at home with them. It's walking to church, to the house of God with them. Investing into their lives when we're driving, to hear the word of God and to speak truth into their lives, because God speaks. God speaks. Children, God speaks. Never forget that. And he will speak in a way that you will understand. He will speak in a way that you will enjoy it. He will speak in a way that is going to be amazing. It's going to be fun. God is not weird. He's not out there and he's so far away. But when we call upon his name, he hears us and he answers us. Praise be to God. I had 2 more scriptures to read, but I'm not going to read them. But I want to pray. And if you're in this room, especially if you have children, grab them by the hand and come to the front and say, God, I declare, and I'm giving the children to you. Yes, they live under the same roof where I live. I pay the bills. They just destroy things and I have to take care of it. But God, I know that all of these things are only going to be temporarily. It's going to come a day where they have to spread their wings and fly. And out of all the things that they can have in the world, I pray that you would keep my children, that you would install the love of Jesus Christ upon them, that the keeping power of Christ will be their testimony, that their testimony will be how faithful and merciful God has been to them. And more than all, that they have responded to the love of Jesus Christ to follow him the rest of their life. What a joyful that moment is. And if this is you, if we can stand together, please, that you would like to just say, fathers, mothers, grandparents, grab your children and come to the front and say, God, they belong to you. I can only do so much, but it has to be you. It has to be you. And like Hannah, I'm going to do my best to bring them to the house of God so your truth can wash over them so they will live a life according to your word, love you and praise you. And the second part of my altar call is this. If you're here, grandma, grandfather, parents, that your children are not walking with you, you come to the front instead of them. And you say, God, whatever where they are, bring conviction in their life. Let them repent. Get a hold of their lives, because I don't want to stand one day before you. This has been the prayer of my father and mother as much as I can remember. And this was their prayer. God, when I'm going to stand before you, I pray that none of my children will be lost. But everything that you have entrusted to my hands, that one day we will stand before you and hear this voice, come into my kingdom, good and faithful servant. So if you're here that have children, take your children and come to the front, and we're going to be praying together. And secondly, if you're here that you have your children that are not walking for the Lord, you respond and say, God, I pray that you would get a hold of my children and save them during the song. And afterwards, we'll be back to pray.